and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. We are so excited because it is opening week of softball. Tara Henry here, joined by Rhiannon Potke. Rhi, how are you doing this week? I can't believe it's actually opening week.
We've made it to the precipice. I'm so excited. We're only hours away now. Fingers crossed, weather permitting, coronavirus permitting, everything. I'm geeked. I can't wait to actually have softball on my TV and then eventually in front of my face. And then I'm really excited. I mean, cautious optimism is probably a good word, but really, really, really high optimism cautiously.
Yeah, this is going to happen all season long. We've had a few schedule changes already. We thought it was going to be due to COVID, but actually there's some serious weather going through Texas right now. And they actually canceled the Team USA, Team Mexico series that was down there in Dallas. And looks like they're pushing back some of those games. But I think we're just going to have to be flexible all season long. It is what it is.
Yeah, the weather gods are trying to just torment softball for another year. We don't deserve this. The fans and the players deserve a nice opening weekend. So as long as they can get games in at some point, I'll take that. But I really wish it could have just been fine. You know, it's been great. The weather, not great, but, you know, and then this week of all weeks. But yeah, and also in Louisiana, the Louisiana Classics, that tournament has been pushed now to Saturday, Sunday, as opposed to Friday, Saturday. So that'll be the Baylor-Louisiana matchups. They'll play twice. So once Friday, there was supposed to be Friday, Saturday. They will now play Saturday and Sunday at 3 Central, 4 Eastern. As of this taping, who knows if it'll change once we're done.
The good thing is stay up to date on d1softball.com. We've got the schedules up there and we're going to be scrambling and make sure that we've got everything up there for you to know what's happening. Florida A&M is not going to participate in the Joanne Graff Classic this weekend is what we heard. With FSU. So just, it is what it is. We're just going to roll with the punches. Rhi, what are your teams to watch this week?
More for me, just tournaments to watch with teams that are big time teams. You know, the Texas Classic is one that I think everyone's going to have their eye on. 3 ranked teams. We've got Arizona, you got Texas, and you got Alabama all in one spot. So please, weather gods, let those games be played. With the kickoff, you know, with Texas, Arizona, and it's just going to be such a great, great event. I'm really interested to see those, especially, you know, Texas, now that Miranda Ellis has opted out, you know, how Molly Jacobson adding to that staff is going to help with Shea O'Leary. They're going to have to kind of collectively fill the void offensively. Just so much stuff, how Montana Fouts kind of bounces back, quote unquote, this year, even though she wasn't bad last year. It was just not. She was a little run down, you know, and then she was trying to get her stamina back up. And that lineup's just a juggernaut in the pitching staff. So I'd love to see how they, you know, I think that if they're played their potential, they could quickly, you know, move up the rankings. And then Arizona, just that lineup is stacked. So that tournament is one I have my eye on. I mean, a lot of teams that we've talked about in the past, but that tournament's one that I'm hoping the Longhorn Network, you know, they're going to get a lot of viewers if people can get that.
And I'm excited to actually watch G Juarez. I know OU is going up to UTEP and they're not in a top 25 matchup up there, but I'm excited to see her get back on the field because she did struggle with some injuries last season in her elbow, and excited to see the Oklahoma Sooners start the season, especially with that talented freshman class. We just released that freshman list this week. OU had 3 on the list of the top true freshmen in the country. So excited to see how OU does, and can't forget my Bruins. The Bruins are at home this week, and hopefully I'll be out at Fresno State UCLA at Easton Stadium for the first game I've seen in a really long time. The last game was Cal State Fullerton, and I think that was the last day softball was played. So just excited to get out, and thankful that part of the media that we get to actually view some of these games, and hopefully fans will be allowed here in California when it's safe. With that said, Rhi, talk to me a little bit about our episode this week. Who do we have joining us?
Yeah, we've got a little special for our listeners. This is going to be something that we're going to do on the regular during the season. We're condensing it into one podcast this week just to kind of expose you to it. But as we roll it out next week, we're hoping to have 2 split episodes. So you'll get, you know, shorter episodes, and you can look forward to having softball kind of one day and then give you a little satiation the next day so we can split them up. It's going to be called the Players Only Division One players only episode of this D1 softball podcast, which means, I mean, I will be on it. I'm not the player, but I will be hosting like 2 to 3 players each week from around the country. We want those players to have their voices. We want their insight. We're getting them from all different conferences, all different areas. We're putting them on one Zoom call together and they talk. And it was really great to hear the banter kind of fun between them, realizing that they played each other in travel and not really remembered. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to have a players only version of our pod every week, featuring a lot of different teams. A lot of teams have expressed interest. Our goal through this is, like I said, to kind of give you the perspective of the player. And also some of these players have aspirations for media career. So this is a really cool way for them to kind of get used to it, get some reps, and they just are fun. They're fun to talk to. And this episode was really fun. We had Alyssa Dalton from Louisiana senior. We had Kaylin Arnold from Florida State, and we had Lenny Malkin from Arkansas. So we had a good representative, and they were all really fun to speak with. So again, this week it's going to be one full pod, followed by, we have an interview with Coach Rachel Lawson of Kentucky. But in the future, that players only episode will be a separate one that you can get each week. That's just going to be the game and what's going on throughout the nation through the eyes of the players.
Thanks, Ree. I'm really excited for this. I think bringing the players together and just having them have a conversation with one another, especially during season, it's going to get interesting. So excited to have this. So let's take it away to the D1 Softball Players Only podcast hosted by Rhiannon Podke.
Hello, I am Rhiannon Podke, and welcome to the debut of the D1 Softball Podcast Players Only episode that we hope we're going to be dropping every week during the season. These episodes, unlike the other one that we do each week, these are going to just feature players only. We're going to rotate a group of players from around the country to give you an inside look at all the action through their perspective. They'll take us on the field, in the dugout, and in the classroom. So joining us today in our debut episode of the Players Only is Florida State redshirt senior pitcher Kaylin Arnold, Louisiana senior shortstop Alyssa Dalton, and Arkansas redshirt junior outfielder Lenny Malkin. Arnold, a Tennessee native, is majoring in media communications at FSU, so this is going to be a really good thing for she's going to be savvy at this, I'm sure, since she's probably already doing a lot of this. Dalton, an Oklahoma native, is majoring in general studies at UL, and Malkin, Colorado's own, is majoring in sports management. So we're really, really glad to have you guys. This is awesome because the season kicks off in literally 2 days. We're taping this on a Tuesday, so we're going to have some games by Thursday. Fingers crossed, of course, in this coronavirus era we're living in. FSU enters the season ranked number 11 in the D1 softball poll, opens against Florida A&M on Thursday in the Joanne Graff Classic in Tallahassee. Some home cooking there. UL is ranked number 7 and begins the season by hosting the 35th annual Louisiana Classics on Friday against Missouri State and Baylor. And Arkansas is ranked number 16, opens with a great showdown against number 10 Oklahoma State, which was rescheduled because of weather, which we're really glad about because we can open with that now. And that's on Thursday in the Best on the Bayou Classic in Monroe, Louisiana. So first of all, I want to thank you all three for joining us. This is history being made with the inaugural podcast here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So yeah, I'll start. Kaylin, how are you feeling? Game week's finally here. I know we got an abrupt end, an early end of the 2020 season. It's been a long wait. I know we had ball against the same people that you see every day. So how does it feel to be ready to finally get on the field and play against a different team?
I'm so excited. It's crazy. I feel like that we haven't played a real game in so long. And it's like our whole team is just like really just itching to get back out there and to play someone other than ourselves, because that's all we've been able to do, you know, is just scrimmage each other over and over and over again. And it's great because, you know, it really challenges us. Like, you know, hitters, they know what's coming. Pitchers, we know what our hitters can do. So we really have to be on our A game, but I'm very excited to play somebody else.
Yeah, how about you, Lenny? How's it feel up there trying to get ready with all your teammates up in Arkansas?
Yeah, in the exact same boat. We've just been scrimmaging, hitting off live of our pitchers, so we're finally ready to see someone else, even though it's been fun, but we're so ready. We're really ready.
And Alyssa, down in Louisiana, what's the feeling there? I know you guys got some new pieces added as usual. How does it feel?
Yeah, it feels good. Right now we're just like same thing, scrimmaging each other over and over, trying to get comfortable on the field again. Finally on Friday, we play our first game. So it's like, we've kind of been waiting a year just to play someone else. So super excited about it.
How has it been too, Alyssa, down there? I mean, we always know with Jerry Glasgow, there's always going to be some transfers in and out and people adding, and the depth looks ridiculous. I think he's since the most talented he's had. How has it been incorporating those new pieces, given that, you know, with coronavirus and everything, because it's really been hard to even gather or kind of do the usual bonding things?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Like, I know most teams have strict policies about like going to eat or like doing anything like team bonding wise, but I think we've been doing a good job on the field, just making the most of it. They've tried to mix up our scrimmage teams or mix up like hitting groups, putting us with new people. But I think in the end, it's made us a lot better just because we do have people to our left and to our right pushing us to be the best we can be every day. So I think it's awesome what he's doing with the program and bringing in all these good transfers, because all it does is make everybody better in the end.
Caitlin, what does the offseason look like, or even the preseason for you guys down in Florida, Florida State? How has that been different or unique, or what will you remember most about this?
Definitely our bubble. So we've created, you know, a little bubble to keep us COVID safe, and we've been really strict about it. I'm sure, you know, the other girls have probably experienced something similar, but, you know, we weren't able to hang out with family or friends or boyfriends, nobody, like outside of our own bubble. So that was different. we got really close, which was great. And, you know, just living with the protocols for COVID has been really challenging, but it's been good. And we've come up with, you know, our bend don't break motto, and that's what we're living by right now.
Yeah, I was reading, I think a few weeks ago, one basketball team was like, all the players broke up with their girlfriends because they just, you know, they can't have them in their bubble. So it's, what's the point? Which I thought was a little extreme, but, you know, I guess there. How about you, Lydie? What's going on up in Arkansas in terms of how you guys have dealt with that?
Same. We have pretty strict rules, but it's totally worth it. Kind of, you could see your boyfriends, they don't really restrict too much on that, and family. A lot of girls are from Arkansas, so they can go see their family. But they just tell us to be smart and wear our masks and stay as far away as you can. But they encourage us to stay within our bubble too. So it's been worth it. We've only had, I think, 3 or 4 cases. I was one of them, but it's been worth it because we've had a lot of team practices and everything. So really getting to know the team better and ready to play.
How was that good, being that, you know, all of us, it's, you know, we all know someone or had COVID or been in quarantine. I mean, at this point, I think everyone in America, it seems, has. Mm-hmm. How was it going through that, though, personally? Because we've heard stories, and just how was it hard to deal with? Did you have to, like, be alone for 14 days? Or?
Yeah, I didn't even have any symptoms, so luckily I wasn't even sick. But, yeah, it was, for me, I had to do 10 days in quarantine, and it got super boring and really repetitive. I would just go on walks and come back home and do homework, but it was a long 10 days.
Well, we're glad that it wasn't anything super serious. I can't imagine I live alone, staring at your own four walls, but not really literally being able to do anything, but at least let you walk. I've heard of some like you can't even leave, and I think that would just be horrible. So, I don't know how much, I'm sure you guys are so literally in your bubble this year and bubble almost every season once you get, but you guys all have friends that play across the country. You have, you know, in their conference, you know. Caitlin, what are you maybe looking forward to on the national landscape? Is there something that you're interested in seeing in softball this year, seeing how things play out, or a team or anything of that nature in the national scope of the sport?
I think honestly, the thing that I've been thinking about the most is like way, way far in the future, but just kind of like postseason in the World Series. Like how are they going to go about that? How are they going to have fans, or is family going to be able to be there? Cause there's going to be, you know, multiple teams. Like, what's it going to be like, or is it going to be us playing in front of like cardboard cutouts? that's kind of what I've been thinking about.
How about you, Alyssa? Have you thought of anything on the national landscape that's caught your eye?
That's pretty much too, just thinking like postseason and World Series, and also like getting on planes and having to go places. Like, what are they going to do? And how, I've also wondered if we go to different schools, are they going to want to test us before we walk in, like postseason, stuff like that. Just trying to figure it out. But I think right now my nose is kind of getting used to getting things stuck up there. So I think I'll be okay by the postseason.
Yeah, that's how I haven't, thankfully, I haven't had to have that really gnarly one that goes, like, I've had a lot of friends that have. How is that experience? Is it, I mean, does it get pretty? Is it, does it ever get easier to deal with that, sticking something so far up your nose to get tested?
I think, or some of them, it's like, I've had it to where I've had a doctor do it where I felt like they touched my brain, but I've also had to where we can do it. And we just like put it where you feel resistance. So I personally like when I can control it, because obvious reasons, I probably won't go as far, but yeah, it's just not a feeling you ever want to get. We have a couple players on our team that every single time they do it, their nose will just start like bleeding everywhere. So it's wow. been.
That happened to our coach. She like started bleeding. She couldn't stop bleeding. And so now she gets like the mouth one. So I just, my nose needs to bleed so I can do that.
Wow. That is intense. Now you, Alyssa, kind of on you, like talking about that too. You, all three of you have tremendous fan bases, people that come out and are just huge fans. I know there's different limited capacities and everything. How do you feel about that? Or how are you feeling about what you maybe you're hoping will take place and how that might affect, you know, just the atmosphere you're used to playing in?
Me personally, I think that UL is like kind of known for their fan base and the people that come out, because they're the crazy Cajun people that come every time. But which right now you can look up in our stands and you see like stickers of the seats that are allowed to be taken, and there's not many. So I'm interested to see how it plays out. But I know that, like, I know TV and broadcasting and stuff is starting to like come out more and film softball. So I think that's good, like a nationwide getting the sport out there. But for personally on the field, like in the moment of the game, it's going to be, fans are going to be missed a lot. So.
Yeah. How about Lindy? How about your fan base and just kind of what you're expecting with the atmosphere? I know the early part is usually, you guys usually stay at home a lot and host a lot of tournaments early in the season. How's that going to be for you?
Yeah, it's going to be different because a lot of families come out since everyone is so close usually. So having that limited capacity might feel way different. And we just love our fans, and we have some old timers who love to come out too. So hopefully they'll get to come to some of the games that they can come to, but it'll be tough. We love our fans.
Caitlin, how about, you know, you guys built, everyone knows, and you got some, you know, the stadium's had some upgrades recently and everything. So how's it going to be for you at FSU?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, we did our Garnet and Gold scrimmage this past weekend that we do every year to start off the season. And it was only at 20% capacity, which is what we're going to have. And it was pretty quiet. It was weird. And everybody was spread out. So Coach, you know, talked to us about how we're just going to have to create that energy that usually the fans would create. We're going to have to keep it hype and keep it up. So yeah, it's definitely going to be weird, and the fans are going to be missed.
Yeah. I think the phrase, I mean, in all the sports I cover with football and basketball, bring your own energy has been used about 9 million times by coaches and players, because it's, you know, they usually have to bring your own energy, which in softball, I think we're pretty good at that. I mean, the dugout, like, my softball leads the way in, you know, cheering their own team. So I think that might be something that could be a benefit here. Mm-hmm. So let's throw out, here's a good question I want you guys. A player not on your team that you really either like to watch or that you've really been impressed with over your career, anyone that really jumps out. I just don't want to be on your team because obviously all your teammates are the greatest players ever in your mind. So, Lindy, let's start with you. Is there any players that you enjoy either watching or competing against on a regular basis?
This is kind of funny because I remember playing Kaylin in travel ball when I think we were both seniors, or I'm not sure. But I just remember playing her in travel ball and then kind of starstruck going into the SEC and getting to play against her. So I've always loved watching Tennessee anyway, so it was kind of cool.
Look at that, Caitlin. I didn't even, this was totally unintentional, but that's awesome. How do you
That's crazy. It's weird. It's not weird. No, it's super cool. No, yeah, and then, I mean, Florida State, we played Arkansas last year.
Yeah, we did play you guys.
Yeah, last year too. So, so yeah, we've played, I guess, against each other a lot. I can't believe travel ball though. That's crazy. That's a long time ago.
I know. I only remember it because I think our team won, and we were Colorado team, so we didn't win a lot against out-of-state teams, and it was just like probably our biggest win.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. That's so cool, though.
Now, Lindy, you weren't you Gatorade Player of the Year for Colorado, though?
Yeah, I was.
Look at that. So there was some good, and they always, you know, everyone comes there in the summer to play, the, you know, all the fire, the 4th of July tournaments, so.
Yep, that was cool.
Caitlin, how about you? Any players that you enjoy watching or competing against, or any hitters that you just fear and, like, don't want to ever see ever again in your life?
I think the only ones that I really feared was when we played Pride last year, and like, you know, there was like Jesse Warren and Kehlani Ricketts and stuff. That was kind of crazy and scary. But no, on my team, my favorite player to watch is Sydney Sherrill, and I just have to throw it out there because she's amazing and the most beautiful fielder in transfers. Like, it's just, oh my gosh, it's like addicting to watch. Outside of my team, I would probably say two people, Jesse Harper and Rachel Garcia, for many reasons. I played travel ball with Jesse, and she's just always been such an amazing hitter, in my opinion, and I love watching her hit. And then obviously Rachel Garcia, because she like is like softball, like, you know, she's just, she does it all. She pitches, she hits, she's USA national champion, all that stuff. Like, she's really, really amazing to watch.
Alyssa, how about you? You've seen a few in your day and the different places you've been. What's a player that you to keep your eye on and that you really admire?
I would have to say Taylor Pleasance from LSU. I played with her in travel ball all growing up, and she's the tallest, four years younger than me, tallest person I've ever seen in my life. But I just know that if there's ever a situation and I hit it anywhere near her when we play LSU, I'm probably going to be out because she will be there. So it's just try to avoid her at all costs when she's on the field.
I know, watching her, like, knowing that she was a freshman last year, I had to be like, wait, that's not your average freshman in a lot of ways. So she was already kind of built to be in college before she got to college. So
yeah, she's awesome.
Last, we don't want to keep you guys forever. This has been amazing. We know everyone, especially on a game week, you guys have study and everything, and this is a tremendous amount of time that you've given to us, and we're grateful. Anything, any teammate on, you know, that for any reason, maybe the funniest teammate in, you know, that makes you laugh no matter what. Lenny, let's start with you. Is there a teammate that really just cracks up the whole team, or that is always good for, to keep everyone lighthearted?
Yes. Allison Manzo. She is the perfect human. She's a fifth year senior, and the fact that she came back is probably the best thing ever, because she is someone on our team that everyone loves. No one has a bad thing to say about her. And she's just sarcastic and funny humor, everything. She can always pick everyone up, and she is extremely loud. So she helps us a lot.
How about you, Caitlin? Who's the one in the FSU dugout that you can depend on for a laugh or just doing something silly?
We're actually a pretty funny team, so it's hard. We're just like all just super goofy, but I would probably have to say the funniest is Anna Shelnut. She is just, her humor is unmatched. I've never met anyone like her. It's dry, sometimes it's dark, but it's like, it's just insane, like, just, and how much she makes fun of like her own self. It just makes the everything so lighthearted, and Anna is hilarious.
That's awesome. How about you, Alyssa? Who's on your team, the one that you know that you can go to for a joke, or that's just want to do something silly?
I would say it'd probably be Casey Dixon or Morgan Gray, and they're just awesome because they never get embarrassed by anything. Like, they don't care who's around, what they're saying, like, they will do anything in any moment. So, like, it doesn't matter if we're at a game where there's no fans or whether we're on TV in postseason, like, they're still always just being insane. So those two, I think, keep the team light and kind of relaxed and just having fun.
Well, that's good. We're going to need a lot of that this season, especially, I think there's going to be some bumps along the way. But we're starting off with a good note that we get all you to join us. And, you know, fingers crossed that everything goes well this weekend, and success for every team. I think just playing a game is going to be March's success to start the season here. So we really appreciate you guys joining us today. We're going to definitely have you back. Like I said, we're going to have a rotating cast, and you guys as the inaugural group. I'll definitely have you back when time permits and when you can, and you can tell us all about how the journey through the season has gone. It's definitely going to be eventful no matter what happens. So we're all just eyes trained on OKC. If we get there, everything's gravy, right? So thank you for joining us today. Everyone, all the listeners, make sure you download, subscribe to the D1 Softball Podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Rate and review. Make sure you spread the word so we can keep going and get some more listeners and get some more players on here. Also, to make sure you subscribe to d1softball.com. All the articles and information you won't find anywhere else. We have pages on every single team. We're going to have all your stats for every player in the country. And we're going to have a live scoreboard for every single game taking place. So you're definitely going to want to subscribe and not miss out on any of that great content. Again, thank you for joining us on the inaugural edition of the D1 Softball Podcast, Players Only. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we are joined this week by Kentucky head coach Rachel Lawson. Lawson's entering her 14th season as the head coach of Kentucky, the winningest head coach in program history, led the Wildcats to their only Women's College World Series appearance, and has made 7 Super Regional appearances in the last 9 full seasons. We know last season did not have any tournament to go to, so we're confident it probably would have been, 8-10. Before she entered coaching in 96, she played at UMass, where she actually went to the World Series with UMass too, which that was pretty awesome in 1992. I don't think many people may remember the juggernaut that was the Minute Woman. They captured 4 Atlantic 10 titles. You were all conference, all academic, all everything there at UMass. And then you started coaching at Maryland in 96. So we appreciate you joining us as we get ready for, fingers crossed, the first, it's opening week of softball season 2021.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on. I'm so excited to start the season. So this is incredible.
Yeah, let's get right into that. What is it like having a game to plan for after so many months of not even knowing if you had practices to plan for?
Well, I know the players are incredibly excited. I mean, it's been 11 long months for everybody, but they're doing things at practice that I haven't seen them do before. You know, one of our starting outfielders all of a sudden has braids and they're blue, and then another person's like, hey, I got to get in like 3 extra workouts. I'm like, you've been working out for 11 months. Like there's just a buzz and an excitement to everybody. So I know they're pretty pumped to get on the field. They've been working out and waiting a long time.
You know, there's going to be a lot of differences this season because of COVID. Does it feel any different to you this season? Is there anything different, just from all we've gone through, or just, I know a lot of coaches were talking about gratitude, but for you, is there just a different feel even beyond the COVID protocols?
Well, the different feel is going to come into the preseason matchup. So when you're getting ready to go to a tournament, a lot of times we would be flying out west to the Mary Nutter, or we'd be, going to Arizona State or something like that. And so you would get a lot of those preseason top 25 matchups that are, from other conferences. And that's going to be minimized. I mean, they'll still be there, but not at the level that you would have expected, because we have travel situations going on if you're going from the west to the east or vice versa. You also have different conferences that are deciding to go to conference only, and then a very minimal out of conference schedule. So I think that's going to be the biggest difference, is you're not going to see those matchups. And so, I think it puts there's always a heavy weight on conference play, but you're really not going to know the talent of teams until they start getting in conference now. So there's not going to be that, ooh, I wonder if Alabama is going to catch Washington, and we'll figure it out in the preseason. It's like both teams are going to be going through their own schedules. And then, all of us will hopefully match up at the end of the year.
We've had a lot, when we've done the fall reports, we've talked to coaches, and there's a lot of kind of like conjecture, like what this is going to mean, having this many people on the roster, having, like you said, not as many matchups. Is there one thing that you're most interested in seeing with this season, and just the differences in how it might play out by the end?
Well, our team is a little different because we didn't have a lot of, we have one, I guess they're calling them super seniors come back, and Autumn Humes, but otherwise we have a very young team. And the only person that's returning in their natural starting position is Mallory Payton's going to be at first base. Kayla Kowalik also. So you've got your catcher and your first baseman. Otherwise, we're going to be completely new to the position. So for me, I'm curious, first of all, how are the younger players going to stack up against the 23-year-olds? I think that's going to be a really fascinating situation because it's a pretty big age gap. And can that gap be minimized? And the other thing I'm curious about, every school had a completely different protocol, even within my own conference. So some schools weren't allowed on their campuses in the summer, others were. Some schools had really long winter breaks where people were at home. Some had shorter winter breaks. So there, it's kind of the first time you've seen a complete difference in training protocols. And so I'm curious to see what kind of effect will that have on the field. I mean, we've seen it in the sport of basketball. I just don't know what we're going to see in the sport of softball, or if it's one of those things that, you know, it'll have more minimal, you know, effect as long as your pitching staff is intact.
And you addressed it, the fact that you, you know, you're one of definitely one of the few that, you know, not all the seniors came back, and it's not because they fled because they were so ready to get out. It's because they actually had full-time jobs to go to. And I know that's a big thing for you. You're really big on the 4 years. You make sure that you develop them as people, as, you know, as students and as student athletes. Kind of explain that, like why, you know, you're not sad about it. You're actually happy for them because they already had like really good jobs waiting, which a lot of us right now in this society don't because of COVID. So their decisions to leave, kind of how that came about.
Well, we really pride ourselves. We believe you can be an outstanding athlete and an outstanding student who's setting yourself up for success. We think you can do both. I think the part that you have to give a little bit is you can't be an all-American in your social life if you're trying to do those things. So you can do two of the three things really well. And, you know, I was sad for them because like every collegiate athlete or someone, you know, we don't have this, like when you're a pro, you can kind of see the end coming, like your body tears apart or something like that. But in college, what happens, you're in, you know, your peak form, you're ready to go. You play a game, you know, you play a softball game and you lose it unless you're the national champion. So you lose a game and then you wake up next day, you become a, you know, your normal, average, ordinary person. And it's always psychologically, that's a tough thing for any athlete because their identity has been wrapped up since they've been a small, small child and being an athlete. So one of the things that we've tried to do is not only do we try to launch them into life, but I'm very mindful of that time period. So if they have something to move to, that really minimizes the identity crisis that people have when they're changing stations in life. And so last year when COVID came about, you know, our senior class was already, you know, in process of being set up. And so the three individuals that ended up leaving, they had a great landing spot for them. So while I was sad that they had to have such a crisis and identity shift, I was happy that they had a landing spot for them. So then the transition period would be less painful for them.
Yeah, that is, that's something like you said, it's, I think for any level, once you stop playing that, if you're really into it, and especially the higher you get, we see that even with the pros. I mean, we see a lot of guys struggle, a lot of women struggle, just to try to make that transition and find another purpose in a sense. So now I'd like to delve, we've talked about, you know, we always like on this podcast to get to know our the people we interview a little bit more deeply. Now you come from, this is, we've had a lot that have come from these softball meccas, and you came from Billings, Montana.
Yeah.
How did you get into softball from Billings, Montana? Give us some of your path there.
Well, you know, Billings, Montana was its own softball mecca. So for itself, like on my high school team, all nine starters went and played college softball somewhere.
Wow.
So we did have an outstanding program, outstanding coach. He's no longer there. He became an AD very quickly, actually our whole staff, but it was just such a tradition of winning. So anyway, it wasn't unusual for us to go on and play softball from that program. But how it kind of happened was, so I had tore my ACL when I was a senior in high school again. So I was already on like my fifth knee operation, and I pretty much thought I was done playing softball. So there I am just catching on a bucket for my two pitchers who were, you know, who were trying to go to college, you know, to Princeton, to be honest with you. So anyway, the Princeton coach wanted them. And so their father convinced them to fly the Princeton coach out who brought a coach from UMass out and do a clinic for us in the middle of December. It's a week before Christmas. It's in Billings, Montana. And the Princeton coach at the time, Cindy Cohen, so wanted these pitchers. She's like, okay, I'll do a pitching clinic. Well, she didn't know anything about pitching. So she brought UMass's pitching coach, Dina Lamondre, down there, who's actually no longer in softball. So she came out, they saw me catching on a bucket. And at that time, things were just so different. And, you know, my friends were like, okay, we'll go to Princeton and you go to UMass and, you know, we'll hang out all the time. And so I'm like, okay, that sounds like a plan, you know. And the UMass coach's like, sure, you can, you know, sure, why don't you come on? You look like you're talented, as I'm like, have to have a knee operation and everything. But back then, the money, you know, you paid your own way, right? So anyway, I'm like, okay, you know, so I went to college sight unseen, went to UMass, really landed in obviously excellent spot, played for Lane Sortino. And, you know, since then it's just been softball my entire adult life.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Not knowing about pitching, but I'll come do a clinic in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Did you grow up, I mean, in softball right away? I know you, and this is the amazing thing too. And God bless your parents, Elaine and Gerald, 11 siblings you had in your house, 11. So that's, to me, to even survive a house like that, like to eat enough and to find enough scraps and stuff, how did that work? And were you one that just kind of got into baseball first and get to softball, or was it something, a family tradition to play that sport?
Well, my older sibling, I had two older siblings that used to play youth league softball. So in my mind, that was like the pros, right? And they would take, so they were a lot older than I am. Because I was the ninth girl in line. So they were, you know, the top of the line. So there were two things going on at the same time. So our whole family got into rodeo. And the reason is because that's the one place that you can have every age group of every kid in the same spot at the same time. So all of us rodeoed. Well, I didn't like rodeo that much. I loved my horse, but I didn't like spurring them or whipping them. I'm kind of like a peace, love, squirrels kind of girl. So I did it, but, you know, I was like, okay, but the rodeo, the arena was right next to the adult softball field. So in between events, I would go over and I would sit on the fence and watch adult softball, men and women. And it was all fast pitch. So anyway, I would go watch that. And in between events, my siblings would go get me, throw me on the horse. I'd go run my event and then go back to softball. So while that was going on the off days, my older siblings were playing adult league softball and they would take me with them. And if I kept my mouth shut, chased all the balls and kept score, they would let me come as long as I didn't embarrass them or anything like that. So, and then they would, you know, in between games, if there was a tournament, they'd go eat, you know, at a restaurant or whatever with their friends, and they would just leave me at the softball field. And so I kind of grew a love for the sport, just always being around it. And to be honest with you, it's kind of my happy place and all I know.
That is an amazing story. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. So rodeo got you into softball. That's,
yeah. How about that?
Crazy. That's really cool. How was it like, you know, living with 11? I mean, I have one and that was a lot for me. How was it living with 11 siblings?
Well, it was a lot of fun. Well, it's very competitive. So you can imagine not everybody played softball. I mean, most of them. So I lived in a time, I'm technically a Title IX baby. I shouldn't be telling my age, but I was born in 72. So my older sisters didn't really have a lot of opportunity to play a lot of sports, but they did play tennis. They cheerlead. They did. And that's why they had to play adult softball. My brothers, you know, played football, and, you know, I had another sister play basketball. Well, a couple play basketball and volleyball and stuff. So, you know, we all played sports, but it was competition 24/7 for food. It was competition for the TV. And being a younger one, if you didn't do what they told you to, they'd like beat you up until you handled it. So I think it developed a sense of resiliency in me, and also like a sense of team, because like you had to, as a sibling, you had to understand your role. And I think that kind of like, I, you know, kind of it speaks to the type of person I am. And again, it's interesting because I like to be quiet. I don't like to be around a lot of people, but I think it's because when I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of friends because my siblings were my friends, you know, and I was not about to bring somebody from outside the house into it because they would have been like eaten up alive. So I just kind of grew up respecting my family. And even though, you know, I don't get to see them often because of the job, I still carry my childhood with me every day. So it's really cool. I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's just, it's excitement 24/7, very similar to being on a team.
Yeah, I can imagine you're probably very used to like just, you know, the team, everyone being like loud and then, you know, just stuff like that. That probably is not. And I can also understand why you want to be alone some of the time because you know I had that. So that's awesome. Well, I know you and your staff, the way you guys game plan, I'm sure you've been in that office that for it's early in the morning, but I'm sure you've been there since like 4 a.m. knowing your tendencies to game plan everything. Let's end it with on a kind of a positive thing too, is just, has there been an inspiration in your life or in your career that you really, you're grateful for, you look back on and think like, this really was something that was kind of a point where I knew what I wanted, or someone that guided me in the right way?
You know, it's funny. There's not like one defining person there is a defining moment that got me into coaching, but the cool thing about people I've met, you know, I couldn't count how many people have influenced my life. Because my general philosophy is like, everybody brings value to the world. And so when, you know, my favorite quality in a human being is when they have passion for what they do. And so when I'm talking to somebody and literally, I could be talking to my grounds crew and they have such passion for grass. Like I could care less about grass. I just know we're just out there playing on it or whatever. But, you know, but if you listen closely to people, you can pick up something from them. So overall, I would say anyone I meet, it doesn't matter what job they have, where they come from. I really enjoy learning from people and they have, you know, affected me. But I would say there's been two defining moments in my life. One was a fifth grade teacher. And it wasn't about coaching per se, but like, I just kind of floundered through life. I only did homework if I had to. And I knew if I was quiet, I could sneak through. I wouldn't have to do my multiplication tables or I wouldn't have to do anything. Like I was, you know, I wouldn't have to do the reading group. And the only time I got motivated is if somebody was going to take recess away from me. I was like, all right, you can't mess with recess. So I'll get it done. So mostly because I don't, you know, my siblings are incredibly smart. They were all very good at what they did. And I never identified as somebody that had that kind of intelligence or anything at all. I just kind of ran around, played sports and hung out. And so there was a teacher one time that like, I just did my homework like every other day. And she's like, hey, this is really good stuff. And what she did was enter me into this writing contest. And I was in fifth grade and it was like the state level contest. So I was like, I have to do what? You know, and she's like, you're going to go to this. And so she kind of defined, you know, it was the first time in my life that someone was like, hey, you actually are smart and you have value from an intelligence standpoint. So that really meant a lot to me. But then growing through sports and stuff, I've only had great coaches and I never could really figure out why. I've always thought that. Well, it was because I look at all of them, each one of them had value to me. Like each person added to my life. But then when I went to college, I was not going to be a coach by any stretch of imagination. The one thing that I did develop from a family of 12 is I hate nonsense and I have no tolerance for nonsense. In coaching, you deal with a ton of nonsense. And so Elaine Sortino came up to me and she said, hey, you know, I would like to help you pay for grad school. And if you do that, you know, you can help us coach softball. And I was like, coach, I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, Elaine, I don't even like people. Why in the world would I want to coach? And she was like, no, just trust me. You know, I'll help, you know, you'll pay for school. You'll help us coach. It'll be great. And I'm like thinking, and I told this to her, I said, okay, Elaine, I will do this, but only because you are paying me. There is no way, you know, and off I go. So I wanted to get my master's and then head off to law school. Well, anyway, sure enough, I got into coaching and, you know, the one thing she taught me, she's like, you will develop patience for people. And I'm thinking she is nuts. There's no way. And actually that is true. So everything I love about softball remained. And then I learned to, you know, hopefully become a better communicator. I still got a long ways to go, but better, and to develop more patience for, you know, patience and tolerance for just things that are what I would consider. My dad had a saying, some people are worried about the hole and not the donut. And so I feel like so many people are always worried about the hole and it drives me crazy. But I have developed now patience for that. So anyway, she was the one who got me into coaching. And I asked her once, I'm like, why did you do that? She goes, because I knew you would love it. And so she was the reason I got into coaching. If it wasn't for her, I would have never done it. And then I guess finally, I worked for a coach by the name of Gina Lamondre, who, again, she's no longer a coach for us, but I worked for her at Maryland, also my coach at UMass. And she really kind of, defined the way I would go about my processes and stuff. So she really got me going. And just since then, I've just continued to grow.
That is awesome stories. I don't like people. Why would I want to coach? Yeah. I'm glad you've come around and like, yeah. Well, I think we could keep you for hours. Every time I talk to you, I learn something, and it's always just an interesting conversation about softball and life in general. So we would love to have you back at some point. I know you're very busy, but maybe we can catch up at some point during the season. Because I know this is going to be a season unlike any other, no matter what happens. So we'd love to have you back, but we really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for appearing on the D1 Softball Podcast.
Well, I appreciate you thinking about us. Thank you so much.
That was a jam-packed episode with the Players Only Podcast and Rachel Lawson. Love the rodeo stories. Love just everything about her. I'm so excited for Kentucky to take the field this season and just hear more from Rachel. She's just amazing to talk to.
So much good information. We could have talked to her for, we could have had like 7 podcasts this week, I think, in terms of length. She's always fun to speak with. She's got such a great backstory. And I loved her family stories. And I love the fact that she's like, I'm still learning. I'm still not even like communication skills still need work. I mean, I love the fact that she's so open-minded and the fact that she seeks out passionate people, because that's something that I try to do. And yeah, it was great stuff. I'm really excited for that, to see how that team develops. They're young this year. That's going to be one that's going to have a lot of, a lot of growth throughout the season and a high ceiling. So we appreciate her coming on, and we definitely are going to have her on again, because we've got tons of more stories I can already tell. And, I loved her dad's words of wisdom, with the donut. We all need that kind of wisdom in our life. The homespun wisdom.
Now I want a donut. I'm hungry for a donut. I love that. I'm going to use that for more often. Well, that is our opening week podcast. Make sure you check out d1softball.com. We've got every score up on the website. We've got dedicated team pages. Subscribe to the website. We've got a deal going right now, 20% off with promo 2021 on an annual subscription. And happy opening week.
Yes, softball fans, it's here. Let's take whatever we can get and savor it and appreciate it for everything it's worth, because we know what it's like not to have it.
Congratulations to the D1 Softball Podcast for making it to opening day and game before game day. Good luck to all the teams. Excited that ESPN is launching 100 games or streaming 100 games this weekend. So we're going to be busy.
Definitely. I don't know if I'll watch all 100, but I'm going to try.
All right, we'll see you next week on the D1.